So who's ready for the word?
I like it. I like it. That was good, y'all. That was great. And so I'm going to pray. And before I pray, man, I have found in my life that we have to position ourselves for encounter. You know, we have to position ourselves. We have to position our hearts for encounter. So as we close our eyes and as we pray tonight, can we just set our hearts on him? I know we just got out of worship, and man, worship was great, but can we just forget about the neighbor that's on our left and the neighbor that's on our right and just set our focus on him? Jesus, tonight, we set our focus on you. Jesus, tonight, we set our gaze on you, God. God, we are not here for the person that is on our left or the person that is on our right, but God, tonight, we say that we are here to hear from you. Jesus, speak to us. God, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. And God, give us hearts to know you tonight, God. Because we want to go deeper in our relationship with you. We want to fall deeper in love with you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So tonight, we are on the fifth part of our series, I Need a New Prescription. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, I need a new prescription. And so our key verse in this series has been found in Mark chapter 12. We're going to start off in verse 29. It says, Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must," somebody say must.
Must.
Somebody say must.
Must.
"Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." Verse 31, "And the second is equally important, to love your neighbor as yourself." Somebody say yourself.
Yourself.
Somebody say yourself.
Yourself.
"No other commandment is greater than these." So by now, we should all know what the two greatest commandments are, right?
Yeah.
Number one is what?
Love the Lord.
Good job. Number two is what?
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Somebody say yourself.
Yourself.
Somebody yell yourself.
Yourself.
I'm talking about. So we said, man, that 1 John tells us, right, that it is impossible to say that we love God and to hate our neighbor, right? And that word hate there means to love less. And we find out from these verses that, man, that if we are going to love God, I mean, if we're going to love people, then we have to love ourselves. So really starting, loving God starts with loving ourselves, right? Right?
Right?
If we want to fulfill the two greatest commandments in the entire Bible, then we have to love ourselves. Right?
Right?
Right? And so over the past few weeks, we have been saying that there are things that keep us from loving ourselves, right? That there are these lies that we believe ourselves, and these lies are the bad prescriptions, is that we see ourselves not how God sees us, and it keeps us from loving ourselves. And so we have been exposing these lies and replacing them with the truth, replacing what the devil says, right? Because the devil is the father of all lies, and replacing them with what Jesus says about us. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
Amen?
Amen?
Come on, a quiet church is a?
Dead church.
All right, so we said, man, that we're not rejected, that we're not unwanted, but truth says, man, that I am accepted, that I am chosen, and that I am wanted. Right, we said that we're not a mistake, that we're not someone who will never amount to anything, that we're not someone who can't do anything right, man, that we're not ugly, man, but truth says that I am a masterpiece, right?
Right.
We said that we're not someone without a purpose, but we have a purpose, and we're called to walk in destiny. And then last week, we talked about, man, that we're not someone who doesn't have anybody caring about us. Why? Because the truth says, man, that God can't take his eyes off of me. Amen? Amen? So that's recap. So who's ready for the word, right? So now we're going to dive on in. So tonight, I want to expose the lie that says, I am unloved and unlovable. And so I want to expose a lie that says I am unloved and unlovable. And tonight I believe God wants to replace it with the truth that says I am loved. I am loved. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say I. Come on, say I am loved. You see, I know if you've been in church any amount of time that this isn't a new phrase for you. And man, you may have heard 1,000 sermons about the love of God before, man. And you may have heard preachers up and down tell you, God loves you so much and blah, 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 blah. And you may know it up here, but I'm not interested if you know it up here. I'm interested if you walk in it in here. See, do you walk around feeling loved? Or do you walk around feeling unloved? And if we can be honest with ourselves, I don't know about you, but I know about me, is there have been many moments where I felt unloved. There have been many moments where I have felt unlovable, either because of what was said to me, words that I took and I wore, or because things that were done to me, right? Man, that just made me feel like I'm unlovable. Man, that why would anybody love me? See, but your identity, it has to be rooted in the truth of this, man, that I am God's beloved. Hear me, that I am God's beloved. Man, that I am the apple of God's eye. That, man, I am the passion of his heart. Man, that his heart is set on me. Man, that his affection is for me. Man, that I'm the passion of his heart. That I am God's desire. Come on, do you believe that tonight about yourself? Man, that I am God's desire. That I am God's passion. Man, that I am the apple of his eye. Because that's the truth about you. That's the truth about you. Is anybody hearing me tonight?
Yeah.
And see, this concept is so important because how many of you guys know that you are made for love?
Yeah.
Come on, you are made for love.
Yeah.
See, ladies, this is why you love movies like The Notebook, right? Movies like Pride and Prejudice, and like you love all this romantic stuff, right? You see a movie where a guy spits a sick line. That's probably not the right word to say in this context, right? But he says like the most romantic things, and what happens? You go, oh, I wish somebody would say that to me. And fellas, you cannot lie. You're either like, one, dang, that was a good line. And you're like taking notes on the side, right? I'm going to say that to boo thing. Or you're like, man, I don't know why, but I feel kind of warm and fuzzy inside right now. I feel kind of warm and fuzzy inside right now. All right, then your bros are next to you, and you're starting to tear up at the right. I like the love movement. You're like, man, it's dusty in here. Well, listen, every heart beats for two things. It beats for love, and it beats for acceptance. I mean, every single heart is longing for those two things. For the rest of your life, you'll be longing for love. For the rest of your life, you'll be longing for acceptance. And let me tell you what, there's only one person in your life that can fill that spot. His name is Jesus, because his love is the only one that's perfect. We're going to talk about that tonight, man. Is anybody excited? And I'm so excited about the message tonight, y'all. Amen. So if we want this truth to penetrate our hearts, and if we really, really want to get it, man, if we really want to walk in knowing that we are loved, then you have to understand tonight that God just doesn't have love, but God is love. Hear me. God just doesn't have love, but God is love. See, check out what the Bible says in First John 4:8. It says this. It says, but anyone who does not love does not know God. Why? For God is love. For God is love. You know, how many of you guys love math? Woo. Y'all are weird. We need to pray for all of you. How many of you guys hate math? How many of you guys hate word problems in math? Those are the worst, right? But when you're learning how to do a word problem in math, right, and they're telling you things, right, and you learn what different words mean, how to translate them. Well, I love that in math, the word is always means equals. It always means equals. If you see the word is in a math problem on your SAT or on your exams or whatever, you can come and thank me because I just helped you pass. All right? Listen, the word is always means equals. It always does. See, so God equals love because God is love. Come on, are you hearing me tonight? You see, I love this because this verse obviously does not say that God just has love, but he is love and it is who he is. See, love is not an attribute that God has, but it's at the very nature of who he is. See, let me explain this tonight, and I hope this makes sense to you. This shirt I'm wearing, I can take on this shirt, and I can take off this shirt. For your sake, I will keep my shirt on. All right? You're welcome. You're welcome. Listen, you're not ready to see the glory underneath the shirt. All right? Y'all are not ready for the truth. The six pack that's coming.
Hey,
Pray for you later. I think your glasses need to get fixed, bro. But listen, focus. Bring it back in. So I can take this shirt off and I can put it back on, but even with their shirt off of me, guess what? I am still Joshua Michael McCory. Right? I can take it off of me, right? And that doesn't change who I am. That doesn't change my identity. But man, I am. My daddy is vanilla and my mama is chocolate. All right? So that means, man, that I am a swirl of the two somewhere in the middle. And guess what? I don't care what you do. I don't care what you can't change that about me. I will always be half chocolate and I will always be half vanilla, baby. Come on, do I got any mocha lattes in the room? Woo! Let's go. Listen, there's nothing I can do to change that. Why? Because listen, God just doesn't take off love and put it back on, then take off love and put it back on. I mean, it is at the very DNA of who he is. Come on, it's at the very DNA. Is that everything God does is in love. Everything that God does is motivated from love. Why? Because it's his nature. It's his nature. Come on, is anybody hearing me?
Yes.
Is anybody hearing me? You know, it's also like this water bottle here, right? How many of you guys know the water bottle game? Oh, didn't work. It's okay. I tried. But you know, this water is made up of two hydrogen molecules. Is it molecules or is it atoms?
Atoms,
thank you. I meant to look this up. I didn't. I'm sorry. And I hope my science is right, or else this whole example is just like shot. So take the first one because that's right. But there's two hydrogen atoms, right? And there's one oxygen atom, right? Equals H2O, water.
Yeah.
Saying? So I can take this and I can freeze it. And guess what? It's still water, baby, right? It's still H2O. It still has two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom. Yeah, so I can boil this water and guess what? It's still H2O, baby. Right? And no matter what circumstance I put this water in, it's always going to be H2O. You see, now if I were to go in and to remove an oxygen atom from this water, I don't know how that's possible, but I think it is.
It is.
Thank you. Guess what? It wouldn't be water anymore. Why? Because I went down and I changed the nature of what it was.
Yeah.
See, God is love. At his very nature, God is love. Is everybody understanding this? Because this is a very important point that you have to get to tonight. Say holla at me if you understand.
Holla.
Awesome. A lot of you guys do. And so my question is, right, is that if God is love, then what does this love look like? What does this love look like? Man, because we, like your generation is bombarded by different ideas of what love is. I mean, I turn on the TV, it's telling me this one thing. I look at this relationship, it's telling me this thing. Man, so what is God's love like? What is his love like? Is it a fickle love? You know, is it a love that's passionate? You know, is it this love that's like, that's in love one day, then 2 weeks later, it's out of love? If I can pick on y'all for a second. Listen, I follow some of y'all on Instagram, and I'm not going to say any names. All right? But 2 months ago, all I saw was heart, 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 eyes, eyes, eyes. Oh my gosh, he's the one for me. Right? And then 2 months later, every picture of that guy has disappeared on your Instagram. Then a week later, a new guy. I finally found the one for me. Yo, that's kind of a fickle love. Listen, if I can say it, is that it seems like in one moment you're in love with this person, then the next moment you're out of love. Why? Because, well, Pastor Josh, I just wasn't feeling them anymore. They just weren't doing it for me anymore. Right? Right? Is that... Listen, but here's my point. Is that what God's love is like? You see, is it a love that looks after itself? Is it a love looks at me? Is it a love that's all about fulfilling its own desires? Is it that type of love, right? The answer is obviously no, it's not. And is it a love that uses people for self-gain?
No.
No, right? And so if God's love is none of those things, then what does this love look like? Now, the Bible uses three words. Not just three words, but these are the three main words that really describe, man, the love of God. And it gives us this really amazing picture of what God's love is like. Now, tonight, I really want you for the next 15 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, man, just to open your heart up. All right, and just to receive this stuff. And so even, we're going to get a little theological in here. Is that okay? Is that, I'm going to give you guys some Greek words. I'm going to give you guys some Hebrew words. But it's going to be good, I promise you. So the first word that we see that describes what God's love is like is the word ahab. Somebody say ahab.
Ahab,
you can say Ahab. I don't know how to pronounce it or whatever. But I know he kind of has a bad reputation in the Bible. So I don't want to say Ahab. So I'm calling it Ahab. Right? But this is a Hebrew word that's found for love in the Old Testament. And what Ahab means, it means to have affection for, to be fond of, to take pleasure in, to have a personal attachment for. And lastly, it means to like. Read that again. It means to have affection for, to be fond of, to take pleasure in, to have personal attachment for. And lastly, it means to like. See, did you hear that last word? Did you hear that last statement? Is that God likes you. And I'm going to put it this way, that God loves you because God likes you. Hear me. God loves you because he likes you. Pastor Josh, what are you talking about? You see, I feel like a lot of times we carry this misconception that the love of God is like the love that our parents have for us. Is that a lot of times with our parents, we carry this perception, man, that like mom and dad had me, so mom and dad have to love me. Mom and dad have to love me. Why, man? Because I'm their kid. And so they have to love me, right? And so because like we think it's almost like this forced love, which by the way, it's not. We think that's like this forced love is that it doesn't really impact us, man. It's that it doesn't really make a difference in our life. And I feel like a lot of times we carry that same perception with God. Is that we think, oh man, he's God. He made me. So man, God kind of has to love me, right? And it's just kind of a saying that we say, and it doesn't really stick to our hearts. It doesn't really hit home. When someone says, hey, man, God loves you, right? We're so used to hearing it. Oh, yeah, thanks, I get it. I'm good, thanks. But have you ever thought for a second, I mean, that God likes who you are? That it's not a forced thing? That he actually enjoys your personality? That God actually enjoys all the weird quirks about you that no one else gets? That God's like, I love that! Yes! That's awesome. God loves it, man. Every single part of you. Man, he loves the fact, Alex, that you love acting. Right about that. He loves it, man. He loves it that you love to sing or that you like hunting or all this other stuff. He loves your passions. Why? Because God legitimately enjoys who you are. Like you're not just a number in a pile. God says, yeah, I love that one, and I love that one, and I love that one, and I love that one. No, you're not just a number in a pile, man. He loves everything about you. Is that he takes pleasure in who you are. He loves you because he likes you. He loves you because he is personally invested in who you are. Now, listen to what Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says. It says, the Lord your God is with you, a powerful one who wins the battle. He will have much joy over you. With his love, he will give you new life. He will have joy over you with loud singing. Now, I love this verse, man. Because that phrase, joy over you, what it actually means is it means to dance, to skip, to leap, and to spin around in joy. Hear this. To dance, to skip, to leap, and to spin around in joy. I thought I would get a little bit of a better reaction with that, but let me explain it a little bit more. Is that when this word is directly translated, it means to spin around under the influence of a violent emotion. It means to spin around under the influence of a violent emotion. So get this, picture this, all right? You are this water bottle. Boom, right? And the Bible says, man, that God has joy over your life. So you know what that means, man? God sees you and God's jumping and God's leaping and God's skipping and God's singing around you. You're so amazing. I love you so much. I can't sing at all. Right? He's doing that around you. Now here's my point. Here's my point. You don't do that over somebody you don't like. Somebody that I don't like, I'm not going to go dance and skip and sing and shout over them. I see them, I go the other direction. But God sees you, he's like, guess what? It's time to skip, dance, and sing, baby. Woo! Because that is how God sees you. God sees you and he skips and he dances and he leaps and he sings over your life. Come on, I believe the halls of heaven are echoing God's joy over you. Like, the angels are like, there God goes again. God, you just can't stop singing about Ethan. Jeez Louise. Okay, God, we get it, God. You really like Mary Jane. God's like, I know I can't stop. It's so awesome. Because that is who he is. Are you catching this tonight? Come on. Come on. See, Jeremiah 31, verse 3, it says, I have loved, or ahab you, my people, with an everlasting ahab. Or love. I like saying the word ahab. Somebody say ahab. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Now, I love this because this points out to us, man, that God's love is that he not only sings and dances over you and spins about you, man, he not only likes you, man, but this love that we're talking about is that it is an everlasting love. It's an everlasting love. What does everlasting mean? It means, yeah, good job. You guys can read. I'm so proud of you. Is that it means continual existence, unending future forever. Right? It means forever and ever 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 and ever. We're getting a little groove going on, right? It's forever and ever. Listen, we always think of everlasting to what's in front of us, but we forget, man, that it's also everlasting to what's behind us too. See, God is the eternal God. Listen, if God is eternal and God is love, that tells me that there has never been a moment in your existence or before your existence that you have not been liked by God. Did you know the Bible says that God chose you before he laid the foundations of the world? See, before God ever put a mountain in place, and before God ever stuck a tree there and a tree here, or told the oceans, you have to stop right here, man, or hung one star in the sky, that God had already chosen you. He'd already chosen you. It's that his love was already set on you. Why? Because he had affection for you. Because he was already personally invested in you. Amen. So the second word in the Bible that's used to describe God's love is the Hebrew word hasid. Somebody say hasid. Somebody say hasid.
Hasid.
Now I love this. I love this word. Hasid, check out this, y'all. Hasid means this. It means a consistent. It means ever faithful. It means relentless. It means constantly pursuing. It means lavish. It means extravagant. It means unrestrained, and it means furious. Can I read that again? Is that all right with y'all?
Yeah.
It means consistent. It means ever faithful. It means relentless. It means constantly pursuing. It means lavish. It means extravagant. It means unrestrained. It means a furious love. That is the love that you are loved with. That's love. Come on, see, tonight I hope you're feeling a little bit more important now than when you walked in the room. Because this is how God feels about you right now. Right now. And, you know, in Deuteronomy 5:10, the Bible says, God says, but I will lavish unfailing love. I will lavish his seed for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commandments. And what an awesome promise of generational blessing. Psalms 136, 1 through 3, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love, his seed endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love, his seed endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love, his seed endures forever. I think God was trying to get across a point. That this love, it endures forever. See, this word Hesed, it's mentioned 246 times in the Old Testament. In a majority of these, the majority of those times, it's always talking about this relationship between God and his people. Right? It's always talking about, not always, but most of the time, it's talking about between God and his people. And what's so powerful about this word, y'all, is that, catch this, I might be talking over some of y'all's heads tonight, but I believe it, you can get it, is that this love was based on covenant. Is that this was a covenant love. Hence the name of our church, Covenant Love Church. You say, what's a covenant? What in the world is a covenant? What are you talking about? If I can describe to you covenant in like 30 seconds, it is like a promise on steroids that cannot be broken. And if this promise is broken, you die. It costs you your life. All right? We don't practice them here in America, but overseas in a lot of Middle Eastern cultures is that this is so practiced. You know, in fact, we like to think the Bible as what, the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? That's not what it is. It's actually the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. See, a covenant is so powerful because what would happen? Hunter, stand up for me. Hold on with me, guys. Hold on with me. You guys still good?
Yeah.
You guys still good? Awesome. See, what would happen is that a greater person would make covenant with a lesser person. I just had to do that for humorous sake. Hunter's not a lesser person, but in this example, he is. All right? And listen, is that what would happen is I would say, man, everything that I am, all of my love, all of my diligence, I devote it to you, and you devote yours to me. All right? And if one of us would break this covenant, it would cost us our lives. It would cost us our lives. Right? So if I was in trouble and I called, Hunter, I need your army to come and help me, and he didn't come, he just put a death sentence on himself. You see, so in this example, guess what? God's the greater person making the covenant with the lesser person. Now, the infinite God, the Almighty God, the God of all power, the God who knows everything, the God who is everywhere all the time, scary, made a covenant with us, infinite, finite beings. And obviously, God's never going to say, hey, I'm in trouble, I need your help. No, but God did it. Why? Because he wanted to establish this thing called relationship between us. And he said, listen, you have my hesed. You have my furious love. You have my relentless love. You have my ever faithful love. You have my consistent love. It's all yours. And I'm sealing it in a covenant. I'm making it a promise. That's God's love towards us. Thank you, Hunter. Now, I went and looked up as much as I could in the time I had, all the times that Hesed was used in the Old Testament referring to God in between his people. And there were two adjectives that I saw over and over and over again. It was the words unfailing and it was the words faithful. It was, God, your love is unfailing. My love is unfailing. My love is unfailing. My love is unfailing. My love is faithful. My love is faithful. My love is faithful. My love is unfailing. My love is unfailing. Over and over and over again. Why? Because these are the words that describe his love. You see, the word unfailing, it means not falling short of expectation. It means completely dependable, inexhaustible. It never runs out. It means endless. See, this love, it's a love that never fails. I mean, it's a love that doesn't run out. It's a love that doesn't give up on you. It's consistent from day to day. I mean, like, God's not in love with you on Wednesday, and by Friday, God is so fed up with you that he can't stand you anymore. Praise God. No, it's the same today. Yesterday, it was the same yesterday, and it will be the same tomorrow. I mean, on Thursday, God's going to love me just as much as he does right now. I mean, on Friday, God's going to love me just as much as he does right now. I mean, on Saturday, God's going to love me just as much as he does right now. Why? Because he is the seed. He is the seed. It's constant. It's never failing. You know, there's a movie that I really like. It's called The Count of Monte Cristo. It's such a good movie, man. And I love the part of the movie is that the main character's name is Edmund, right? And Edmund gets falsely accused by his best friend of committing treason against the government because his best friend is jealous of his girlfriend, right? And is jealous of his life and because he's always happy and his best friend is filthy, rich, or whatever, but he can't be happy, right? Because money doesn't fill you with happiness, right? But Edmund is poor, but he has this woman that he loves, right? And he loves his life. And so his best friend for all of his life gets jealous, right? And basically falsely accuses him and Edmund gets thrown in prison, right? He gets thrown in a prison. I believe it's called Chateau d'If, and this is like the worst prisons of the worst prisons in the country, right? And so Edmund is stuck in this prison for years. And eventually in this prison, Edmund meets this priest through this weird circumstances here. And Edmund meets this priest, and this priest begins to teach Edmund how to read and to write and stuff like that. And then the topic of God comes up. And Edmund says to the priest, he says, "Priest, stop telling me about God. Can't you see? I have given up on God." And I love what the priest says. He says, "Edmund, you may have given up on God, but God has not given up on you. God has not given up on you." See why? Because God is his seed, and because his love, it does not have the ability to give up. It doesn't have the ability. It's not possible. If God's love gave up, God would stop being God. Amen? You know, and I love it is that you don't have to play like the flower game with God. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Like the flower game, like the love flower game where you're like, man, right? She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not, right? She loves me. I got to make up for the last one. She loves, she loves me. I did it again. I threw myself in the hole.
Janitor.
All right, listen, is that I never have to do that with God. Why? Because it's just he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Why? Because he loves me. 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 Because that's just who he is. Right? So the last word, and we're about to close here, is it's a word that we find in the New Testament, and this word is mainly used for God. It's the word agape. Somebody say agape. Now, I love this word. See, agape means... it means an unconditional love. Hear me. It means an unconditional love that always sacrifices self for the object of its love. Always sacrifices self for the object of his love. See, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, it says, "Immense in mercy and with an incredible love, agape, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us." See, it says in 1 John 4:10, it says this is how God showed his love, his agape for us. God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. This is the kind of agape we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved agape us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. Man, can somebody say amen?
Amen.
See, I love this. Why? Because agape, it's a divine love. It's a love that only comes from God. Is that agape is a love, man, that gives, 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 even if it's never responded to, even if it's never thanked, even if it's never acknowledged. This love, it still gives, 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 and gives, and gives. It's a love with no strings attached. It speaks of an undefeatable kindness and compassion that always seeks the highest good of the other person, no matter what the person does. It's a self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return and does not consider the worth of its object. Man, no strings attached. No strings attached. Let me tell you what, you won't find that in any other relationship in your life. One day, even in your marriage, truth be told, there's still strings attached. But with God, it's listen, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to keep on giving my love for you, and I'm going to keep on giving my love for you. God, I don't deserve it. It's not about you. God, I'm going to keep on loving you. I'm going to keep on loving you. No matter what you do. Man, I don't care what your sin is. Man, I don't care what your problem is. The Bible says that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not a single thing. It doesn't mean I shouldn't live right. That doesn't mean I shouldn't live holy, because that does affect my relationship with God. But that doesn't mean I'm separated from his love. Zara can grow up one day and say, Dad, I hate you, and walk out of my house and never come back, but I will never stop loving her. Why? Because she's my kid. And you're God's kid. I don't care what you've done, what you've been a part of, what's been done to you. You're his kid. And he can't stop loving you. So in conclusion tonight, we don't have the right to believe that we're not lovable. We don't have the right to believe, that we're unloved. Listen, if you're living in that lie tonight, I just encourage you, be set free in the name of Jesus. Right? Why? Because God loves towards us. In summary, it's affectionate. It's fond of. It takes pleasure in. It has a personal attachment for, and it likes me. See, it sings, skips, leaps, and dances over me. It is an everlasting, it's a continually existent, it's an unending, forever kind of love. It's consistent, it's ever faithful, it's relentless, it's constantly pursuing, it's lavish, it's extravagant, it's unrestrained, and it's furious after me. See, it's an unconditional love that always sacrifices for me. It's unfailing. It doesn't fall short of expectation. It's completely dependable. It's inexhaustible. It's endless. It's a love that comes without conditions. It's a love that cannot be earned but is freely given. It has an undefeatable kindness and an unconquerable passion. This love is God. This love is God. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, man, tonight, I just believe that God wants to show us this love. See, what I love about the love of God is that there's a word that I didn't say that describes it. It's the word phileo. And I love this word because it means it's a love to be experienced. See, you weren't just meant to mentally know about God's love, man, but you were meant to experience God's love. Hear me tonight, you are meant to experience God's love. And I feel like there's some of us tonight that have known God's love with our heads, but have never known it with our hearts. And I believe tonight, man, that God is just wanting to come with his love and just hit you with a pile of bricks so that you'll know that you'll know that you'll know, man, that I have experienced the love of God. If that's you tonight and you say, man, Pastor Josh says that I want to experience the love of God for my life. Maybe it's for the first time and maybe it's for the 100th time. And you just said, I just want more. I just want more. He's here and it's available. So tonight, if that's you, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hands. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Is there anybody else? I mean, if I can be honest with you guys, my hands are up because I want to experience more of his love. It's an unending adventure. It's an unending journey. It's something that you can never get tired of, is that there's always more of it. There's always more. There's always more of him to experience. There's always more of his love. I love what Paul prayed. He said, God, let me know the height, the width, the depth, and the breadth of your love for me. So 10 more seconds. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. A few more hands going up. Awesome. Before we pray for that, one more thing is that if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, Jesus is not the Lord of your life, you are not in relationship with God. Man, that's what we talked about tonight, is that God's not mad at you, he's mad about you, is that God wants a relationship with you. Is that he sent his only son to come and to die for you because he loves you so much. So if you're in this place and you want to enter into a relationship with God for the first time, or maybe you prayed the prayer before, but it didn't really change your life, is that your heart didn't really mean it. And tonight, you want to give your life to Jesus. Two things need to happen. Number one, you need to recognize that you're a sinner, that you're somebody in need of God. And number two is this, you have to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. You have to give control of your life over to him. So is that anybody in this place on the count of three? One, two, three. Is there anybody in this place that needs to give their heart to Jesus? Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Is there anybody else? All right, if everyone could stand up for me. Stand up for me and close your eyes. I want everyone to repeat this prayer after me. I want you to say, God, thank you for sending Jesus to come and die for my sins. I believe that Jesus is your son, and that he died on the cross and rose on the third day by your power. So right now, I ask forgiveness for all of my sins. Wash me clean with the blood of Jesus. Cleanse my life. Make me new. I confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior and Master and Ruler and Owner of my life. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you guys could just lift your hands up in the air for me, just stretch them nice and high towards the ceiling. Jesus, I thank you that you saw everybody's hand that was up, God. I say, God, they want to experience your love, that they want to encounter your love. God, I thank you that tonight, God, we're gaining more than just head knowledge, God. God, but we're gaining heart knowledge. God, I pray, God, that all that knowledge that has been in our heads for years and years and years about your love, God, right now it's making that 18-inch journey down to our hearts, God. God, let it make that 18-inch journey down to our hearts, God. God, right now I pray for fresh encounters with your love all over this room, God. God, right now I break the spirit of suicide in the name of Jesus. God, let your love crush it, God. God, let your love come in like a wrecking ball, Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Lord. God, fresh encounters with your love right now. God, would you walk, God, through every wall that is up? God, would you walk through every stony heart, Jesus, that refuses to respond to you tonight? God, I speak to all the Lazaruses in the room, God, that have been walking in death, God. And God, I just invite your love to come, God, and to awaken them to life in the name of Jesus right now. God, awaken them to life right now, Jesus. God, we speak life in the atmosphere, God. We speak your love in the atmosphere right now, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, God, for a fresh revelation of your love. God, open our eyes, God. Open our eyes to see, God. You know, and even right now, I break off the lie. I break off the lie that says that I'm not loved. I break off that lie in the name of Jesus. If everyone can pray this after me, I want you to say, God, forgive me for believing the lie that I am not loved, that I am unlovable. I break that lie. I renounce that lie in the name of Jesus, and I replace it with the truth that says, I am loved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, I silence the voice of the enemy over your lives. Jesus, I thank you, God, that truth is speaking. That truth is speaking, God. Thank you, Father God. God, we come out of alignment, God, with ungodly beliefs. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for freedom, God. You said in your word, for the truth will set us free. I thank you, God, that those baggages that we've been carrying around, God, trying to get people to approve of us, trying to get people to accept us, trying to get people to love us, that baggage is falling off right now in the name of Jesus, because we're resting in the fact that we're loved. God, that we don't have to earn this love, that we don't have to perform for this love, Jesus, but we can rest in the fact, God, that we are your beloved, God. You know, I speak to you guys and I just say, be loved. Come on, be loved. Accept that love. Receive that love tonight. Let him cram more of that love into your hearts tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus.